We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Right now, when you come in and switch to T-Mobile, you get the amazing iPhone 11 Pro on us with iPhone XS trade-in.
Aren't these mountains majestic?
Joe, are you even looking?
I'm posting these amazing pics I took with my iPhone 11 Pro. It has three cameras.
Whoa, those pics are amazing. And you have service too?
T-Mobile. Their newest signal goes farther than ever before.
Then you can look up whether these are bear tracks, right?
Or we could just run.
Come to a T-Mobile store today and get iPhone 11 Pro on us with iPhone XS trade-in. And right now, get four lines for just $30 a line with AutoPay. Switch today.
Contact us if you cancel or credits may stop and full price due, plus taxes and fees via 24 monthly credits for well-qualified customers with qualifying service and finance agreement. Zero down with trade-in plus $31.25 times 24 months. Pre-credit price $999.99. 0% APR while supplies last.
And now, a thought from Geico Motorcycle.
It took 15 minutes to take a spirit animal quiz online.
Please be the cheetah. Please be the cheetah.
And learn your animal isn't the cheetah, but the far less appealing blobfish.
Oh, come on.
To add insult to injury, you could have used those 15 blobfish minutes to switch your motorcycle insurance to Geico.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on motorcycle insurance.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, episode 95, Unmissable Opinions, brought to you by the most influential voices in the FC Barcelona community. Thanks again for tuning into the show. You can tap in your app and check the show notes to subscribe to the show. You can also find us on social media. We're on Twitter, at the Barcelona Pod, at HiltonD13 for me. Or, of course, you can join our closed Facebook group at tbpod.link/group. We also have a Patreon, Instagram, plenty of other places to find us, but I won't waste any more of your time because obviously you've got us in your ears. You found us. I'm Dan Hilton, joined by my co-host for the day, a guy who's started as an interview and now he's been bumped all the way up to co-host. It's Mohamed. But Mohamed, I know you're walking home from work and we're going to be talking to you as you're on your travel, but I appreciate the time.
Hey, my friend, it's a pleasure. You know, I'm always happy to get a promotion. You know, I thought it was good going when I first came on the podcast. I'd just been laid off. Then I got a chief writer at Squawker gig, and now I'm co-host of the podcast, mate. I'm moving up in the world. I'm moving up. What's his name? Sergio Samper. Well, hopefully more successful than Sergio Samper. You know, maybe more like Xavi in '99. That sort of thing.
The middle ground is Sergio Roberto in the middle there.
Yeah, there you go. That's that. He's got lovely hair, hasn't he?
But he's actually, Sergio Roberto is one of the few players that we're not going to be talking about in our La Gran Pregunta segment, and we've got plenty of La Ronda questions later on the show. So without further ado, let's hit to La Gran Pregunta, which is basically what will an exodus entail, as we're going to focus on the players that could be leaving the club. And that seems to be half the guys or more than half the guys in training. Let me rattle them off, Mohamed, and then we'll go through a few of them. And we can almost put them in different camps here. You have Jasper Cillessen, one of the guys who you probably don't want to see leave. Denis Suarez, who most likely, obviously, at this point is not going to be leaving. Thomas Vermaelen, who we obviously won't be seeing leaving if all indications are proper. But then you have the list with Andre Gomes, Aleix Vidal, Douglas, Rafinha, and Lucas Digne is actually in the first camp, probably not leaving. Yuri Mina, Paco Alcácer, Munir Haladadi, Marlon Santos, Jose Arnaiz, and Sergi Samper. And that is a huge list of guys who all have, again, depending on what your sources are and who you're following on social media, all those guys could be gone from the club or put out on loan or not in the squad in just about a month and a half time. And that's just a huge list. So obviously, it's hard, Muhammad, to dissect which guys are going to be around and which ones are going to be seeking greener pastures.
Right away, you can tell the club is looking to sell Yerry Mina, so Vermaelen's going nowhere. He'll be the fourth centre-back again, which I personally would rather see Yerry Mina there, but I also understand the fact that Yerry Mina probably is never going to suit Barcelona's style of football, and at the same time, he needs to play regularly, more regularly than a fourth-row centre-back could possibly do. You look at Longley, you look at Piqué, you look at Umtiti, you've got three brilliant centre-backs there. Obviously, Longley is a cut step below Piqué and Umtiti, but I think that's a fantastic little three-way you got there. And then you got Vermaelen as the backup, as the fourth guy. He'll come in if he has to come in. He won't come in. It's not the end of the world if he doesn't play too much. Lucas Digne, I think Lucas Digne might actually go, because you look at Juan Miranda, recently signed a new contract, young, promising left-back, 200 million buyout clause. The club knows this kid is for real. You look at his age. He's 18. Jordi Alba is, what, 29? Jordi Alba will probably start losing his pace in about 2 years. Like 3 years, maybe. So you look at Jordi Alba. He needs a backup, and he needs a backup that can play in a similar sort of style, can understand Barcelona. The thing with Lucas Digne, I think, is a fantastic fullback, but he doesn't play like Jordi Alba in any way, shape, or form. Now, again, I'm not saying that Juan Miranda does either, but I feel like I can see that if an offer comes in for Lucas Digne, just purely to raise funds and to trim the wage bill, they'll sell him, and they'll bring in Juan Miranda. And as the backup, who will play backup minutes to Jordi Alba. So I think that's pretty good. But you obviously, Andre Gomes, you've got to get rid of him. Well, it's much harder now. He's ditched Jorge Mendes as his agent. Alex Vidal. I still think Alex Vidal's departure depends on if another winger comes in. I don't know if it's Willian or whoever it is, but if Barca doesn't sign another winger, I think Alex Vidal stays, purely from a depth perspective. I think Denis Suarez stays from a depth perspective as well. Much as I think I'd love him to just go, because I feel like he would blossom at a club like Villarreal, where he'd play every week, you know, versus Barca, where he's playing here and there, sometimes playing well, sometimes not playing well. Oh, God, who else was there? Munir, I'd love to see us sell Paco Alcácer and keep Munir as the backup to Suarez, because I think Munir has a lot to offer. But apparently the club doesn't think so. Who else? I mean, everyone else, pretty much just Marlon. I don't know what the hell that was all about. I think that was like some sort of weird experiment, almost like, but he's probably going to get sold. Yerry Mina's probably going to get sold. If you make 50 million from those two, which it shouldn't really be hard given how well Yerry Mina played at the World Cup, you know, that's pretty good. Then you can just start selling other guys, Lucas Digne, so on and so forth, and you make as much money as you can make from those guys. You know, I mean, happy days, right?
And is it a little worrisome that I know we're only midway through July, but within the coming week, going to be sending a team to the United, well, here to the United States, should I say, for the preseason tour. And then again, you look at all those names, even a guy who most likely won't be sold, but could be sent out on another loan in Sergi Samper, those kind of guys still don't know what their future is. And so they're going to be entering new clubs if they are to be leaving later on in the season. And part with that is that with the English transfer window being moved up this season, you've got to expect that they have to do their business before that English transfer window gets done. And you always look at, I always think, and Frances and I have for a while, we talk about the NBA quite a lot, and you think about it as musical chairs, where there's only so many spots. You even look at Jasper Cillessen, how the goalkeeper merry-go-round and how the move by Alisson from Roma to Liverpool affects where Jasper Cillessen winds up and whether or not a team is going to pay 30 or 35 or 40 million euro for Jasper Cillessen. And that it is like that merry-go-round where a guy like Rafinha, I think tons of clubs would want, but also with his injury concerns, Barcelona is just waiting for a high enough bid. And I think the teams are going to continue to throw those low offers in until Barcelona bulk.
Yeah, well, look, with Rafinha, the club is just going to take a bath on Rafinha. It's a tragedy. He's a magnificent footballer when he's injury-free. He's just never injury-free. He's always like 5 games away from his next big injury. And he never gets little injuries. He gets big ones as well. Every year it's like some massive thing puts him out for 2 months. You can't trust him. Inter were the only club remotely interested in buying him. Even they chickened out after they looked at the price and his injury record. The club is going to take a bath on him. They'll send him out on loan or lose him for free or whatever. He won't make the club any money, which is very sad to say because I love Rafinha. I've always preferred him to Thiago, to be honest, but he's not going to make any money. Cillessen, I think Cillessen has a chance. I think he was never, how can I put this? You know, he never seemed to have what Liverpool needed, clearly, after Karius's mistake, is a personality. Like, Karius was a fine goalie. He had actually had a really, really good season, just he made a massive mistake in the biggest game of the season. And it was like, and he sort of seemed to shrink from that. I think what they've signed with Alisson is a big personality, a big presence, right? Alisson, remember, Alisson got smacked for 6-5 goals by Liverpool. You know, Barca stuck 4 past him at the Camp Nou. No one really remembers that because he has a big personality and he stands up and all that stuff. So I think Cillessen, where he fits perfectly, especially now that they've got a new manager, is Chelsea. I think Chelsea, they've lost Courtois, obviously. They've lost out on Alisson. But they need a goalie that can pass because you've got to play Sally football, right? And Sally ball, you need a goalie that can pass. I mean, he had Pepe Reina in Napoli for years. Why? Because Reina can pass. I think Cillessen possibly is a very, very great, it's a great option for Chelsea, frankly. I think they should spend 30... I don't think they'll pay the buyout, but, you know, 50, 60 million. I think that's, they should be paying that. They should be looking to pay that because he is absolutely perfect for them. And, you know, I think Cillessen isn't perhaps the player that the club want to sell because, oh, my God, if you've got the Dutch number one as your backup, why wouldn't you want that? Like, he's perfect for Barca, really. His only fault is that he's not as good as Ter Stegen, which is not really an issue. And he's happy to be a backup. That's the thing. It's like when Ter Stegen was backup, he was very, very clearly agitating to be number one. Cillessen seems happy in his status. I don't know why in particular, but he is. So maybe Cillessen says, maybe he goes. I feel like if the club want to send to make some money, they might start trying to push the transfer. But I don't know. To me, yeah, you look at the guys, it's not very well planned, this squad. But then at the same time, you have to understand, I think this summer is always going to be a mess because Barca are correcting for years of just putting together a shoddy squad, not really managing the youth contracts very well, not really telling players where they're going, where they're not going. There was no real plan for integrating this generation of La Masia players after the golden one. You know, they were sort of like, it's like, yeah, they'll play, but they didn't play. And none of them were really given a chance except Munir briefly. And then for some reason, not. He was discarded. And if ever Paco Alcácer and Sergio Roberto. And Sergio Roberto was given a chance, multiple chances, and he integrated. And it's just really funny to me that it's like, look, no, we're not saying these guys are going to be Xavi and Iniesta, right? And Messi. That doesn't happen. But they could still be very good if you just play them. Like, Pedro was going to be binned off by the club until Pep said, no, let's play him. He has his uses. And I think you look at all the players Barca are trying to bin off, and especially some, like I said, Munir. I think Munir really does have his use. You know, you play him as a backup striker. You give him minutes against... Because Luis Suarez should not be playing against the bottom 5 sides in that league, home or away. Like, he's 31 now, but he's got, with his body type, he's like, may as well be 35, 36. He can't, and because he doesn't know how to, like, look at Cristiano as a good example, right? Cristiano has restricted his game, contracted his game, locked bits off and become very streamlined, very efficient. And that, you know, that's worked out well for him, right? He's probably scoring more efficiently than ever, maybe. You look at Suarez. Suarez can't do that. Suarez has to play 100 miles an hour all the time. He doesn't know how to lock bits off his game. So the only solution to him then playing and burning him out is then you don't play him as much. You have to restrict him. I've been saying for 2 years now, Barca need to restrict Luis Suarez. He should not be playing more than 40 games a season. I would say even if you can get it down to around 30, 35, I would do that. I would not play him against any of the bottom 8, bottom 10, bottom 10 sides in the league. Unless it's Espanyol, I would not play him against the bottom side in La Liga. Just rest him, especially at the Camp Nou. Just rest him. Just put him on ice, man. Don't even bring him off the bench. Because he doesn't know. Messi knows how to modulate himself, how to control his energy output, right? A lot of great players do that. Even Usman Dembele and Philippe Coutinho know how to do that. You can watch them doing it, right? Suarez has no idea how to do that. And he just runs himself into the ground every time he plays. So he needs to be rested and controlled.
And you did bring up Sergio Roberto, as we're going to transition to La Ronda because we have a ton of questions. And the one thing I would add to that is you mentioned Sergio Roberto, and he's 26 years old at this point. So the whole thing about the academy producing it's trite and it's now over. But the thing you said about Luis Suarez that I think is true, that Valverde is, we're clearly seeing, yes, it's preseason, yes, guys are still away in the World Cup, but he's clearly taking a hard and long look at guys who could deliver, and we expect Abel Ruiz to go on that preseason tour, and while he'll be the starter for Barca B, I wouldn't be surprised, and I think he is, having seen him at the U20, you don't want to overhype guys, but in the same respect, you know that he's a guy, that he's a kid that if you put him next to Coutinho or Messi, and you just put him up in the middle, and instead of those Copa del Rey squads where you just wholesale put all these youngsters in together, if you mix and match experience with some of that, when we saw Boyan all those years ago succeeding, it was because he was succeeding surrounded by veterans. It wasn't this youthful squad.
You're right.
And so I think that's what we haven't seen from Barcelona's starting 11 in a long time. But
yeah, you nailed it, my friend. That's exactly it. You want to. I do think Abel Ruiz and Juan Miranda are the two current La Masia kids that we'll see breakthrough. And Alenia, of course. Alenia, who's already sort of... Well, depending on how he recovers from injury. But Alenia, Juan Miranda and Abel Ruiz are the three that I think are going to come through of this generation. Everyone else, probably not, you know?
I'm pretty high on Puch myself. But again, that just might be the hype train. But of what I've seen of him.
Central midfielders... He got to wait a while, man. It's going to be like two years, maybe three before we really know.
Right.
This is the thing with centre mids, right? It's like, it's such a cerebral position. Like, look at Sampa. We all thought Sampa was going to be a lot because he should have been a lot. He looked like he was. You just don't know how they're going to develop. Passing midfielders, with Barca passing midfielders, unless they learn how to cope with the physical demands of the game, and Sampa never has, you don't know. And that's something you can't predict even when they're 18. Like, no one could have predicted... Xavi only looked the way he did at 18 because he played 18 in the first team. Van Gaal pushed him in. Without that, Iniesta, look, I'm sorry, I don't care what anyone says. No one except Pep Guardiola knew Andres Iniesta was going to be literally probably the second or third best midfielder of all time when he was that young. Because you just couldn't tell how would he adapt to the physicality. Could have become that. But you're watching him, you're thinking, can he really handle the physicality? And then Rijkaard playing him in defensive midfield, playing him on the wing, and you're thinking, okay, yeah, this guy can handle it. You know what I mean? So it's like Ricky Pucci, you just don't know. You just don't know. I love Big Ricky. I hope he is a roaring success, but I don't want to call it just yet. Do you know what I mean? You've got to wait and see how he handles the big lads. Because it's one thing with a fullback, with a striker. These are athletic positions. You know, you can see them getting. Handling it's not really I don't want to say it's easier, but it's easier to break through. Breaking through this young centre mid is so difficult, especially for Barca. So I just want to hold off and just I don't want to put any pressure on the kid. I want to let him develop naturally. Do you know what I mean?
Agreed. And a lot of those juvenil A players with Pimiento, you're going to be seeing Callado and Puch at that level as the starters week in and week out, as opposed to just making Barca B bench appearances. But okay, we have to get to La Ronda now, so here we go. Let's start from the closed Facebook group. Again, their questions are preferential to us, so we're going to start with a question from Rick. Thinking back from last year when it looks like the team was in a place to get the treble, then they wind up with two of the three, what should Barca do to make sure they don't make the same mistakes from last season? And burnout being one of those big questions. And you did kind of answer it where Luis Suarez is a big part of that. But what about in the midfield? What do you do now that and we're going to tie in some other questions too. People asking about Arthur, about even if De Jong shows up, about Alenia when he gets healthy. What do you do when you have a youthful midfield like that? And what kind of rotation? Again, you said about Luis Suarez, but how about beyond that?
There's two key players that need to be rotated, right? And the names are Luis Suarez and Sergio Busquets. For the last, I don't know how many years, Sergio Busquets has arrived at March in a season looking absolutely dead on his feet. He plays way, way, way too freaking much. And it's a real problem for Barca. It's a real problem for Barca because he's everything in the midfield, you know, since Xavi's left. So Barca needs to find a backup. They don't have a backup. Samper didn't quite measure up. Okay, fine. But we've seen last season, even Rakitic, can play at the base of midfield and play very well there. And Arthur can play at the base of midfield, can play very well there. So the solution here is clear. Against the smaller teams, again, like I said before, bottom five teams in La Liga, bottom six, bottom seven, at home especially. Maybe not so much away, but at home definitely. No Busquets. Just rest him. Just rest him. Cut about 500 to 1,000 minutes off the season. The guy's playing 4,000 minutes regularly. Cut off about, get that down to 3,000 minutes. You're going to see a fit Busquets in March. That's going to be all different. And then the same thing with Suarez, right? Because Suarez is your goal scorer. He's your big presence number nine. You need him. You need him fit. Don't burn him out. This is the thing with Barca. Messi can modulate. Messi's fine. PK also could use being rested, and that's already been addressed. Longley's come in. That's going to be sorted out. But yeah, Busquets and Suarez are the big ways. The big ways that Barca avoid addressing that. Because look, the March international break has destroyed Barcelona every year. Since Luis Suarez has joined the club, since Tata Martino, the March international break has destroyed Barcelona, with the exception of one year, and that year was 14-15, and that was the only year that Luis Suarez, aka Barca's main striker, did not go play international football. He was suspended from Uruguay, wasn't he? Didn't go, stayed in Barcelona, was fully fit. The March international break kills Barcelona's players because you have to dip at some point physically in the season, right? And Barca's, for some reason, their physical preparation, their periodization has led it to be March, right? Late Feb, early March. And I get it. That's when you usually, comes back to haunt the club every time because they've been unlucky getting some tough draws as well. Let's be real. We're having Atletico Madrid twice. That's not easy. But then, of course, they got Roma this year, which was not an easy draw, but it was. It shouldn't have been. Barca shouldn't have lost that game. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the trick is, rest Suarez, rest Busquets, rest Piqué. And, and also I suppose another thing would be to sign more Europeans, I guess. It sounds weird to say, but, part of the reason why I think Real Madrid found it so easy to dominate the Champions League is because all the international breaks, their players aren't going very far. They're all Europeans. They're going around Europe and that's it. Barca's front MSN, all going to South America, transatlantic. It's two transatlantic flights. Not to mention the flights all around South America, which is massive as well. So, purely cutting down travel standpoint, that's why, I'm pretty sure that's part of the reason why they were so high on Griezmann. It's like, here's a World Cup player, and he's French, doesn't have to go very far.
Isn't that the funny thing, too, about that Real Madrid are buying up, and they just bought another Spanish player and another guy who went to the World Cup and
yeah, Odriozola, yeah.
Exactly. And so with Real Madrid buying up all these Spanish players, that's again something that in theory shouldn't affect Barcelona, but then you look, it's just a small byproduct and one of the small minute factors that wind up adding up. And another question we'll ask about looking back to last season, Luke asks, besides Messi, who do you see as the most vital Barca player for success? And how does that move to the upcoming season? Like for me, when you were saying about Busquets and Luis Suarez, I kind of worry about even Rakitic, if anything, because he played more first team football than any other player at the top level this year.
And 70 games, man.
Right. I worry about Rakitic, and I found him to be maybe not the most vital Barca player next to Messi. I believe it or not, I think it would be Ter Stegen. Umtiti was really important in the first half of the season, but Ter Stegen was really, really important for me. And Rakitic would be maybe even number three with the way that Barca relied on him so much, game in and game out.
He did excellent work, basically helping, because Busquets was exhausted again by season's end. It was Rakitic carrying the load in midfield to the end of the season because Busquets was just flipping dead in his feet, couldn't really move much. Rakitic was sensational. He had a brilliant World Cup. For me, was just as good as Modric, not as flashy, but because he played a subservient role, as he always does, like the nicest guy in the world. For me, Rakitic, but the thing with Rakitic is, for me, right, what makes that whole situation different is Barca are going to return to 4-3-3 this season, I think. We'll see a lot more 4-3-3, which immediately means Coutinho's in interior, right, which means Arthur's there, which means Busquets. So I think, basically, immediately you have, and there's Alenia as well, I think you have more options to rotate Rakitic out. Like I said, you should rotate Rakitic using to sub Busquets. Well, you could use Arthur to sub Rakitic in some games. You could use Alenia to sub Rakitic. You could use Coutinho. You don't have to play Rakitic every game because you've got Arthur now, an actual midfielder, and they're looking to add another midfielder. Like if Barca get Labio, Rakitic could really, again, it's just all about managing the minutes of these guys, right? They're all human beings. You've got to understand they can't constantly play. But if you bring in viable options, part of the problem Barcelona have had is Andre Gomes has not panned out at all. And Paulinho himself was exhausted second half of last season because, of course, he was just playing on from his Chinese super. So he hadn't had a break since, like, what? End of 2017? Like, for all of 2018. Sorry, end of 2016. And then he played all of 2017. And then he was like, so he'd been playing for over a year by the time, you know, we reached the end of the season in 2017-18. So, yeah, you know, you take that Paulinho problem away, you take the Gomez problem away, you bring in Arthur, who can play seriously and probably will second half of the season becoming very good to play serious minutes. You bring in a new signing, a new midfielder. They clearly want to sign someone. I don't know if it's Rabiot, if it's Thiago, whoever the hell it is. Basically, they're going to sign another midfielder. I mean, I'd look at Lobotka from Celtic if they miss out on all their big targets, but whatever, you know. You bring in another midfielder, then you know that's you've automatically reduced the load on Rakitic. I do agree Rakitic is important, but Busquets is the key guy, apart from Messi, to keep fit. Then there's also Piqué, there's also Suarez, there's also Rakitic. You know, basically the spine of the side. Keep the spine of the side in good health, you're pretty much going to be all right.
Well, you kind of started answering that question, and this, I mean, we had tons of questions. We appreciate all the questions, but this is one of the reasons I brought you on for this question in particular, Mohammed. And I've seen you on Twitter recently. You've been talking to people, and we got a question from Xavier, a guy named Frances Tomas, if you've ever heard that name, and Charlie Barca all asks, is Valverde bringing in the right players to play a 4-3-3 that he wants to transition to? And where this goes off, and there's two different tangents I think, Mohammed, you can take with this, is, well, one, the easy one is, who is your ideal starting 11? And you did kind of start naming them, but of course, where that's Coutinho is in the midfield, the winger position, I've been asking all my different co-hosts throughout the week. And then part two of that is the dialogue you've been having on Twitter recently with how we define how Barca needs to play. Yeah, and so about the Valverde, about the purism, I guess. So where do you stand with Valverde trying to go back to this 4-3-3, I guess I'd say?
Well, first thing is, the funny thing about quote-unquote Cruyff Twitter is they sound like Van Gaal. They don't even sound like Cruyff. They sound like dogmatists who are sticking to a formation religiously, who are absolutely, you know, obsessed with adhering to their principles rather than actually saying, hey, look, this player's really good. Maybe I should play him as well. You know, Cruyff, remember, this is the guy who had Stoichkov, Laudrup, and Koeman, and then thought, oh, I'll buy Romario. You know what I mean? So this is a guy who was open to bending to players and to skill sets and stuff. These people on Twitter, they sound like Van Gaal, which is hilarious because they worship Cruyff, and Cruyff, as we know, hated Van Gaal. So, but yeah, look, what do I think? I think, yeah, 4-3-3 has to be there. 4-3-3 was meant to be there last season. Everyone's forgetting this. Barca started the season playing 4-3-3, false nine. Messi was, the whole point of Valverde was to bring Messi into the middle of the pitch, not having any of this asymmetrical stuff that Luis Enrique was messing around with. Messi into the middle of the pitch, surround him with wits. That Ousmane Dembele was going to be winger on the right. Luis Suarez was going to be an inside forward on the left. Jordi Alba was going to own the left flank. What happened was two things. Luis Suarez was injured and played through it like an idiot instead of getting an operation, and then was just rubbish for half a season as a result. And it was when Dembele got injured for half a season. So immediately right there, your 4-3-3, false nine doesn't work because De La Feo is not up to the task. Luis Suarez is injured, can't handle the physical load of playing that position. So what do? You change it up a little bit. 4-4-1-1, obviously heretical to Barcelona, and I understand it. It was horrible when I was watching it. It was like, you know, I didn't like it either. But it was for a purpose. It was for a reason, because Barca couldn't play the formation he wanted to play, you know, so he had to adjust. He had to keep Messi in the middle of the pitch. That was essential, right? He had to, but then he also had to keep Suarez on the field in a role where he didn't have to constantly, he still did anyway because he's an idiot, but he didn't have to run the channels constantly and go out wide constantly. And so that's where the 4-4-1-1 came from. Now he's going to go back to 4-3-3. I'm almost certain of it. We'll see Messi on the right sometimes, I'm sure. We'll see Messi as a false nine, I imagine, in big games. I'm almost certain of that. That explains why he wanted Antoine Griezmann. If you look at Griezmann, what's Griezmann really good at? Where did he break through for Real Sociedad? Playing as a left-sided wing forward where he scored all the goals. So you can see exactly how he fits in that formation there. Didn't happen. Probably for the best. Whatever. You know, you look at Martial, who's the only person I've been talking about. But yeah, look at Martial. There you go. Midfield, what do? Well, you need Busquets at the base, right? And then you need a controlling midfielder. You need someone that can pass the ball, link the play. You look at Arthur, that's Arthur. That's Arthur all over. You listen to what he's been saying about Barca in that interview. It's pure, it's Xavi. It's what you want. I'm not saying he's Xavi, but it's the mindset of Xavi. Give the ball, you pass the ball, you give, you get, you receive it, you pass it, receive it, you pass it, receive it, you pass it. You're always moving, looking when to speed up tempo, when to slow down the tempo. Arthur says, I can play at the base, I can play it further forward, it's not a problem.
So he's a starter. That's... he's a starter for you, Arthur?
No, not yet.
Okay.
He's 21 years old. He's just coming from Brazil.
I know.
We don't, he's got to adapt, but he's the starter. He is the future of the midfield. Is he the present? I don't think he starts opening day. I don't think he's, unless of course he like immediately settles in. Like which I mean, look, it's happened before. Players have come in and look like they've been there for, been at the club for years. Rakitic, I thought Muzening was one of the players who did that. So will he start day one? Maybe, I guess. I don't know how he does in pre-season. But I would not expect anything from him until 2019. I think he needs time to adapt. You know, we'll see him every now and again, but he's a midfielder at Barcelona. That's not an easy position to play. I would expect he needs time to adapt. But let's see. But by the time the Champions knockout rounds roll around, I would want him in the starting 11. Because he is a player that knows how to control the game, which is exactly what Barcelona needs. Busquets at the base midfield. Who's the third midfielder? I think that depends entirely on situation. I think if you're playing at home, I think if you're playing a team worse than you, home or away, if you're playing a big team at home, I think you put Coutinho in the middle. And I think you put Suarez or whoever the hell's other striker is up front, right? With the current squad. If you're playing a big team away from home or a tricky away game, let's say Espanyol away, you know, you don't really want to, you know. I think you put Coutinho in the forward line, and I think you bring in Rakitic into midfield, and you have Rakitic, Arthur, and Busquets. I mean, or to start the season, I think you just have Rakitic, Arthur, and maybe Dennis Suarez. I don't know. Rakitic, Busquets, and Dennis Suarez, sorry. But the whole point is, you use players situationally. There is no all-conquering 1-11 for all games, all situations. That's the one thing that was... That's what basically brought down Barcelona in the Tito season, was because, obviously, Tito was ill, and he couldn't really make... He didn't have the strength to make changes and stuff, right? And then Jordi Rua was taking charge of things, and Jordi Rua is not going to make big calls, so he just played the same team over and over again. That's when the idea of this Gala 11 sort of emerged, really. Before then, Pep would rotate here and there regularly. Now, that was a big thing of Pep's. He was rotating constantly, different 11s for different situations, always a very sort of similar focus and structure, but there's little changes here and there, depending on what the game wanted. And that's what Barcelona need to get back to, and that's what I think Valverde will get back to a degree.
Well, you mentioned a spot in the midfield, and so Yogev asks, do we really need to make any more signings like the ones we have been linked? Because that's what it is. This is the transfer time. So, of course, in the last week, we've heard Pogba, Willian, Kante, and Hazard seems to be more closer to Real Madrid than he is Barcelona. We hear all these things. And for me, you know, you hear about the Ajax player. And another question from Ellie is, what do we know about Frankie de Jong? Now, you know, the reports in Paris say that he's meeting with PSG instead. And you hear all the gossip. But for me, it's always when you hear about guys like Lenglet, we heard just a little bit of rumors months and months ago, April, March, and same thing with Arthur. And now all of a sudden they resolve it in a week's time, less than a week's time. Yeah. And that's how Barcelona have conducted their business. So when you hear the Willian, Kante, Hazard things, obviously it looks like the club is going after a big fish, but there's no credence to those rumors. So how do you weed through figuring out? And
I think you nailed it. First off, you look at who was the club linked to initially, what were the reports saying, and then how are they still talking about them? Willian, to me, seems entirely to be agent-driven from their side. I know Mundo Deportivo are reporting it, but it seems to me like it doesn't make any sense, basically. Unless the club are getting ready to get rid of Dembele, why would you sign another winger who is 8 years older than Dembele and, frankly, not that much better than Dembele? I mean, in terms of ceiling-wise, forget about it, it's not even close. It doesn't make sense, really, to sign Willian. Obviously, the club just wanted to sign Griezmann as a forward. Who knows if that was an idea to sign a forward or if that was just a market opportunity thing because he's so world-class. For me, yes, Barcelona in the midfielder, absolutely, because Andre Gomez is useless, basically, can't be relied upon. So you got rid of Pali and you brought in Arthur. That's an upgrade, huge upgrade. Now you need another midfielder because you can't be... If Elenia was fully fit, maybe okay, maybe not, but you can't be relying on Elenia coming back from an injury to do something. You know what I mean? That's ridiculous. So, and yeah, to me, you look at Rabiot, right? Barcelona were linked with him a few times, right? Yeah, suddenly it's all gone quiet. But no one else has been linked with him. So, yeah, to me, that's the guy. But, you know, Thiago also would be fine, I suppose, although I've never been as much of a fan as Thiago as most Barca fans, to be honest. But Yeah, I think Barca need a midfielder, and then you could argue a forward. Basically, not a winger in the sense, not a pure winger like Willian. To me, Eden Hazard is, how can I put it this way? He's a bit of a, he's just soft, man. Not soft, that's the wrong word.
I'm not saying he's lazy, but he seems very lazy to me. He's obviously a world-class player. He has the ability to be the third best player in the world after Messi and Neymar. I think no question in my mind about that. You just look at how well he played against Brazil in the World Cup. But the thing is, to that sort of level, he's just too happy to coast through games, and we can see him disappear from games too often. Too often he does that. To me, for the amount of money Chelsea would want, which is north of 150 million, to me, no thank you. Willian, at least you know he'll work hard constantly, which I'm sure Valverde would adore. You know, defensive protection, all that nonsense. But to me, again, even Willian is not the one. If you're going to sign a forward, which I do understand, I do think it's not a bad idea because Luis Suarez is 31, and with his physical style, how much longer can you actually rely on him? But then again, I also understand the idea of waiting for Abel Ruiz to bring him through, you know? But honestly, Anthony Martial, you know? It's not going to happen before the Premier League starts because obviously United's got so many World Cup players away. They need Martial to start in the Premier League. Mourinho has said that. But, you know, the window then goes on for another 3 weeks after the Premier League one shuts. So, for me, you wait, you Lukaku and Rashford to get back, immediately bump Martial off the starting list for United, and, you know, you see what happens. That's what I'd do if I had to sign someone, a forward. But the big priority is midfield. Barca need another midfielder, 110%. Another forward would be ideal, would be lovely, but it's not essential. I mean, last year I managed to spearhead a campaign to get Barcelona to sign Jean-Michel Seri, and they almost did it just because social media, Seri sees player, hashtag Seri sees player, and all that social media pressure and stuff. So I might start a Martial one this year to try and wake them up again. But
well, if that's the case, then Martial might wind up at Fulham in a year's time.
Hey, I tell you what, mate, that's a brilliant bit of business by Fulham. Seri is a player who I think had to, you know, needed a move, didn't get a move, and in that classic fashion. You know when players, like, they're itching for a move and then they don't get it and they just sort of, their form just sort of collapses? You know, it's not a surprise to me that Seri didn't get the move, by the way, because he's an African playmaker. And we all know the quote-unquote, you know, Africans are defensive midfielders. They're not really, you know, so it's just, he was unappreciated in part, I imagine, I would suspect, because he's African and a playmaker rather than African and defensive midfielder. But, right. Look, I think he'll do well for Fulham, good for Seri. But Barca, I think Barca, absolutely, yeah. You look at midfielder, Rabiot would be my pick. And then you look at, God, the forwards Barca have linked to are just horrible. But, I mean, I guess Willian out of them. But really, none of those forwards. You want to sign someone like Martial, maybe even Timo Werner, maybe even Alireza Jahanbakhsh, you know, from the Irani forward. No, you know, I mean, he's not got a massive profile, but he's got the kind of skill set you want, you know.
You're signing a backup striker. That's the whole idea. It's not going to be in theory, it wouldn't be a starter. In theory, it would be a backup that's going to at least start 20 to 30% of your games. So that'll wrap up the show. Mohamed, thanks so much for coming on. And you talked about it at the beginning where you wound up. But again, how can people follow you? Obviously on Twitter, you can give your handle, but also your other work.
Yeah, I mean, facebook.com/ Mohamed Butt, MUHAMMADBUTT. That's my Facebook page. You'll find all my writing on there from Squawker and any other stuff I do. And then, yeah, on Twitter, same handle, Mohamed Butt on Twitter. Follow me, you know, leave me nice comments. I like when people leave me nice comments. More people call me, you know, horrible names and, you know, it's just for having a different opinion on football. But that's you know, that's one of the beauties of what I do, you know. You put your opinion out there, people just go, ah, you're an idiot, shut up. They say much more horrible things than that, but, you know, I don't want to. It's a nice podcast. I don't want to ruin it with it, with their horrible language. No, look, it's a pleasure being on, as always. And, follow me and say nice things to me. Makes me happy. And, you know, let's all start pulling for Barca to actually do some interesting stuff.
Very true. So thanks again to Mohamed, and thanks for all you for tuning in to another edition of the Barcelona Podcast. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon, and Forza Barca.
What if Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night?
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive. Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made. Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.